In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, there are three points that Apostle Paul brings out to young Timothy. First of all, he says, but the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, point number one. Point number two, paying attention to deceitful spirits. Now, the word deceitful is derived from the Strong's 4108, which means an imposter, a misleader. And the third point that Paul brings out to young Timothy is doctrines of demons. And so we find that even in Paul's writing to the Corinthians, the second letter on the 11th chapter in verse 14 and 15, Paul also admonishes and tells them that no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, Paul says, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds. And so, as the convention theme text says, you must bear much fruit. And if you don't bear fruit, yes, you will notice that as well. So I think the lesson here that Paul gives to young Timothy, he's giving him instructions. In other words, as you, Timothy, you're going to be assisting classes in establishing elders and deacons, you also are going to be faced with false teachings. And Paul is very strong on that, to present sound doctrine, sound teachings. And he also mentions, he says, prove all things by the word of God, which is very important. You'll find that in one of the Mena texts, I think it was the month of September. And so Paul mentions to Timothy that the Spirit tells us, what does Paul mean? Who is this Spirit that tells us? He says, the Spirit explicitly says, I think it's reference to Genesis, the first chapter, verse 2, that the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And so it is God's invisible working power is what it is. And so it is God's truth, according to John 16:13. And so we find that Paul mentions this to young Timothy, reminds him that, you know the truth, Timothy, because you know it because of your grandmother. And so he's reminding him to stick to that sound doctrine which your grandmother preached to you at one time. And then Paul, in writing a letter to Thessalonians, the second letter and the second chapter, verses 1-5, and Paul reminds us that before the coming of our Lord Jesus, there shall be a falling away from the faith. A man of sin shall be revealed. And then Peter also reminds us in 2 Peter 2, 1-3, but false prophets also will arise among the people. And this is a warning he gives us. Just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly, I'm reading from New American Standard, secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, will bring swift destruction among themselves, and many will follow, and because of them the way of the truth will be malignant. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. And so we find that in the Old Testament, we are told that God in times past, he spoke unto the fathers through the prophets. And these prophets were God's mouthpieces. And so Satan spoke through his agencies, and we know what happened at first Advent. The serpent who became his agent, and at the beginning of the time, in the Garden of Eden, he beguiled Eve into disobedience. He tested our Lord after his baptism. And so we see that Satan manifested his powers through different medias, through magicians, through soothsayers of Babylon, and remarkably those of Egypt when God's powers were manifested through Moses and Aaron. before Pharaoh at that time. This is recorded to us in Exodus 7, 11 and 12, and also Exodus 8, 7 to 18. Now, we all remember the story of King Saul, how he consulted a medium, a woman a witch at Endor. Now, we know Satan is not a prophet. No, not that God reveals coming things to him, but he is a student of God's word and a believer. And James 2:19 tells us that. Devils also believe and they tremble. Yes. And Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 14, we're reminded by Paul, besides, we should not forget the words of the apostle here, that he that had the power of death is a devil. And we're reminded of that in Isaiah 8, 19 and 20. Now, the first stage in the predicted development of the wicked one is that of apostasy. And we have just read this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 unto 5. But Paul here is speaking of the return of Christ. And that's why Paul says, for the day will not come except there come a falling away first. Falling away from the first truth, the first message given by our Lord Jesus to his apostles. And so that same thought is expressed in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, that in the latter times some shall fall away from the truth. And this refers not to the very last times, but also to the times subsequent to those in which the apostle was writing this. Now, in reading the rest of the scripture, verses 1 and 2, one does not need to be a professor to discover in them the great outlines of the Roman apostasy. And remembering that apostasy is pointing to the revelation of the man of sin preparing the way and furnishing the condition out of which he emerges. And we feel sure that we are on the right trail in finding the realization of this in the early corruption of the apostolic faith. It is very evident, a spiritual defection. It is what we would call the germs of which we already are being planted in secret, and which in latter times were to appear to defecting from the faith. And so the Bishop of Rome and his successors began to betray Christ while professing to serve him, perverting his doctrines and ordinances by mixing them with pagan and Jewish corruption. Now in Titus chapter 1, verse 9 to 16, we're not going to read all the scripture, but here we see a lesson that Paul warns against false profession. And this is what he says. He says to Titus, hold fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching. But there are many rebellious men, empty talkers, deceivers. They are upsetting the whole families, teaching things they should not teach. One should not be paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him. And so we see that Paul gives us a lot of warnings here of what's going to happen. And it did happen. So now we are beginning to know why Paul wrote this letter to young Timothy. In 2 Timothy 4:3, Paul says this to him. He says to Timothy, the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine. And so we look here and we wonder, well, what is the main theme of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? It's Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the resurrection, his kingdom is the main theme. What do the first three chapters of Genesis tell us? The creation and the fall. What do the last three chapters of Revelation tell us? The restoration of man. The restoration of human race. Now, when the prince of this world offered all the kingdoms of the earth to Christ, did the Lord accept it? No, he denied it. Instead, he accepted the present cross by yielding to his Father, which was brought out by Brother Tom last night. But what the Son of Man refused, what happened? The Roman bishop, a few hundred years later, accepted it from the prince of this world. and from the prince of this world, they received the temporal power of kings of the earth. And that was a shout of triumph they felt they had it, which belongs only to the Redeemer we know in his millennial glory. And so we see that the bishop, while communing, he is working with the rulers of this world, enriching himself with their silver and gold at the price of crucifying the Son of God afresh and putting him under to an open shame. Now, going back to the days of our Lord Jesus and the apostles, we find that Satan still operated in much the same manner, as well as a variety of others. For instance, in Acts the 8th chapter, verses 7 to 24, we're not going to read this, but we're just going to quote some phrases. Here we see Satan uses power to dilute the people. Acts 13, verses 8 to 10. Paul and Barnabas had an experience with another of these mediums of the devil. Also Acts 16, verses 16 and 18. And so we find that Satan has kept up his practices with the various changes of method to suit the circumstances, such as using religion to disguise himself as an angel of light. And we just read that in 2 Corinthians 11, 14, 15, 16. But during the Dark Ages, Satan had a strong hold on religion. Gradually, it began to divide. Satan formed more groups. If you don't like this group, no problem. I will create you another group. And so it continued to grow in number. We know in Brother Russell's day, there were 1,100 major religions in the world. Today, we have over 4,000. And if you don't like these 4,000 religions, I'll create another one for you. And that is called the Church of Satan. And where do you think it started? I shouldn't say it. But it started in the state of California. And where is it today? Brethren have told us it's in Poland, it's in Ukraine, it's in Romania. And it's growing in number. And so this is another deceitful spirit spoken by Paul. And so this is why Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, we know that spiritism, though refined and it's being kind of like modernized, is yet the same that as ever was in ages past. And what is its object? Its object is to darken the truth. No love for God or for his son, Christ Jesus. Now, this brought out in the discourse, I think, by Paul Malley. In other words, some of the things that happened during the Second World War with the Jews and so on. So the question still arises, where was God? Where was your God? Why didn't he intervene on your behalf? Satan likes that, doesn't he? To discourage. Everybody blames God for everything. Any accident that happens, it's God is to blame for it. But nobody blames Satan. Did you ever hear that? Did you ever see that happen? I did. We know the first lie that Satan made in the Garden of Eden, you not shall surely die. And it still stands today. We had an interesting discussion a week ago today, with an individual who feels that the good soul goes to heaven and the bad one goes down, you know where. And it burns there. But it's interesting. What happens when a child is born? Does God create souls? Does he manufacture souls? We know there's 200,000 people are born each day. God must be very busy manufacturing souls, isn't he? But that's not how it works. And Satan is there to try and deceive everyone that he can. We find the Bible is our authority, and we recognize Satan as the prince of this world. John 14:30, Ephesians 2:2. Satan is a prince and power of the air, the spiritual power, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And the Bible tells us that spiritism has not reached the climax of its power. Its power are to increase, as stated by Paul in 1 Timothy 4:1. But the Spirit of God, as Paul says to Timothy, explicitly says, it tells us in latter time, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. In Revelation 15:14, we're told, they are spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the whole world to gather into battle of their great day of God Almighty. Today, on radio, printed page, television programs, Every day you have what kind of programs? Psychic programs. There's more and more of them today than you had 50 or 100 years ago. And these programs capture a large audience. This is our modern day deception. Human traditions and creeds of men is all around us. 1 Peter 4:12 tells us, Peter says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fire ordeal among you, which comes upon you," who's you, the church, "for your testing, as though some strange," in other words, some strange unforetold thing were happening to you. Now, what's the purpose of having Satan today or during the entire gospel age? It is to test the church during this age, is what it's for. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 to 15. Paul says, "For the fire of that day shall try every man's work of that sort it is. He that builds his faith with gold, silver, and precious stones," in other words, the truths of God's word, "the same shall remain. But his faith will not be destroyed." How true it is. "But if any man build with wood, hay, and stubble," in other words, the teaching and creeds of men, "the same shall suffer loss." This age has been a struggle between truth and error, more so today than even in Brother Russell's day. In other words, what is real and what is false? And that's why I believe that Apostle Paul, in Ephesians 6 chapter, in verses 11 to 14, tells us this. He reminds us that we should put on the full armor of God, not just half or quarter or two-thirds, but the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against what? Against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. No. No problem there. We may have colds and sniffles and whatever it is, but we take medications for that, don't we? And we cure it. In other words, against our flesh. But against evil spiritual beings, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness. Satan is still the prince of this world. No matter how you look at it, we have to admit that. Against these spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places that we're struggling with. And they are in control. But the Lord allows it to go only so far, just as the Lord allowed in Job's day for Satan to go only so far. You can do whatever you want to him, but you cannot touch his life. And that's how it is with his church. And so, brethren, we're reminded to stand firm. Stand firm, having girded your loins with the truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Also, look at Psalms 91 and verses 1 to 15. "But, beloved, believe not every spirit," as in 1 John it tells us, "but try the spirits, because if you try the spirits, you'll know what is right and what is truth and what is error." And so in 2 Timothy 3:1, we realize this in the last times. Paul says, difficult times, or King James says perilous times. The New American says difficult times. But you look that word up, perilous or difficult, and what does that word mean? Times of stress will come. Do we see it? We see it more so today than we did 50 years ago. Because 50, 60 years ago, if you lost your job, next day you can have another one. There was no problem. There were no times of stress. There were times of stress, that's true, but not as much as you have today. We know that Europe had its times of stress. The First World War, the Second World War, the rule of communism. There was a lot of stress. This is why in Europe did you find so many brethren, not only brethren, but even the other people, who have a lot of high blood pressure. They have ulcers. And that's not due because of eating improper food, but I think it's more so because of stress. Do you think that a life today in the world is much easier than it was 50, 60 years ago? Some of you older ones will know that. You can answer that. Today, what has happened in our workforce? We have become slaves to the giants of this world. We've become slaves to the giants of this world, which is controlled by whom? The God of this world. Yes. And you remember in the fourth volume, Brother Russell writes about amalgamations. And amalgamations where banks will amalgamate, large companies will amalgamate. You have your television companies, you have your cable companies becoming big giants. Even your gas companies, your oil companies, they're becoming. I know in Canada we used to have about 20 different oil companies. Today we only got two left. That's how big they've gotten. They control the prices. We pay twice as much for gasoline there as you do here. And yet that's our own gasoline. We pump our own gas out of the oil, out of the ground. 50% of it goes to the United States. And here we become slaves to these giants. And we know that because of amalgamations, many jobs have been lost. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. So you can see what times we're living in. Paul further describes conditions. 2 Timothy 3:2. Paul tells Timothy, yes, times will come. There'll be lovers of self, lovers of money. There'll be those who'll be boastful. There'll be those who'll be disobedient to parents. You know, when we look at this disobedient to parents, it's hard to describe the conditions in the world today. You'd never dream that a mother would take her three children and drown them in a bathtub. Or a court case which we have today in Vancouver Island, where a husband is being charged with six murders, six of his children that he had killed. And this never occurred 100 years ago, which you see today. Parents murdering their own children, children murdering their parents. Now, somebody's going to say, well, where's God? Why doesn't God do something? But nobody blames Satan. Oh, he's a good guy. Yes, we know that Satan is keeping the world very, very busy. Remember Paul said to Timothy, deceitful spirits have a way of drawing the unsuspecting on little by little. Little by little. Satan gains the confidence of his victims by breeding down their willpower, weakening their willpower, making slaves of them. Satan has been successful through the entire world of deluding, ensnaring humanity, especially during this harvest period that we're living in. Through dreams, revelations, he has brought into the church various doctrines of devils. We know that. We know that from our parents and our grandparents. What did they go through? There were superstitions in their religion, spirit mediums, man-made images of God. Jesus is no longer the Son of God. He is God, as they keep telling. This is how it was led astray. Mary is the mother of God, and it still exists today. It hasn't changed, has it? If you watch television news, see what's happening with poor Pope John. But you know something? Speaking of deception, we too, as Bible students, can be deceived. Yes, we're living in that age. You know that there are some Bible students say that Mother Teresa will be part of the church? That's deception, my dear brethren. These are teachings of doctrines of demons, deceptions from Satan. There was a theory established that Christ's kingdom began in approximately 800 AD. And the popes were reigning. They took the place of Christ. The nations of Europe were God's earthly kingdoms. But you know something, as we see history, what the Catholics started, the Protestants have continued. They haven't changed. These kingdoms of this world are being hindering the people from hearing the gospel message of the second coming of Christ, to establish the true kingdom of God, to put down sin, to scatter the ignorance and darkness of the world, to help mankind out of evil back to the image and likeness of God. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan is still the god of this world. His veil is over the world and hasn't changed. As we travel in Europe, we do find a lot of discouragement, even amongst brethren, discouragement. The door to the high calling has been closed since 1914. That is discouragement. And we know from scriptures that the minute that the door is closed to the high calling, the marriage should be taking place. But you and I should be very happy and glad that the kingdom did not begin in 1914, because if it did, you and I would not be here today. Because the minute that the kingdom begins and the door to high calling is closed, there will be no more reproduction of human life. We know that from Scripture. We know that false doctrines are what are troubling the people of God today. New garments of light are assumed continually by Satan. You don't like this? I'll introduce something else. Hypocrisy is the part of seducing spirits consists of personating angels of light and pretending to bring into new light. Well, I got something new. I found something new. These ministers who pose as God's servants, but who in reality are hypocrites. Bible prophecy concerning leaders of Christendom, we find that in Isaiah 56. I wouldn't read that, take time to read it. But this is interesting. Isaiah 56, verses 9 to 11, is a prophecy of false prophets. You may read that for yourselves. Also, Ezekiel 34, verses 2 to 31, we find what the prophet is talking about. He's talking about these doctors, these doctrines who are teachers of demons, is what it has reference to, and that's why Paul refers to in 1 Timothy 4:1. You know, at one time, there were those who used to forbid marriage, which the Catholics have done, but others have done too. There were those at one time, back in 1913, 1914, who said, don't get married, because the kingdom will be here October 22nd, 1914. Well, it didn't happen, did it? Here we are almost 90 years later. We were also told back in those years, it's too late to consecrate. And those who did consecrate in 1914, they were refused the right hand of fellowship. Because you'll never make it. And here you are, almost 90 years later. So Paul says, in 1 Timothy 4:1, he mentions deceitful spirits. But that it was so innocent, wasn't it? I think there was nothing wrong in presenting the viewpoint, but yet that wasn't scriptural. If you can't prove the viewpoint by scripture, it's a viewpoint, it's not a doctrine, it's not a teaching. Here's something that's interesting. When you go back to the Old Testament, now Paul mentions deceitful spirits in 1 Timothy 4:1, but look what we find in Deuteronomy 18 and verses 9 to 13. Now, this is really the picture of the kingdom. He says, when you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, now this is speaking about Canaan, which pictures God's kingdom. You shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations, such as one who uses divination, practices witchcraft, interprets omens, or sorcerers, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. The Lord your God has not allowed you to do so. Remember this. Now there's another one in Revelation. When God's kingdom begins, this will be a no-no. You're not going to see psychics on television or radio or any talk show host. And we have always believed, according to the Bible, that God created Adam and Eve. Don't you believe that? God didn't create Adam and Steve. As we watch television, what do we find on the news? In Canada, two states or two provinces have approved same-sex marriages. Isn't that deception? They want the entire federal government to approve it now. I see you're having that fight here in the USA. You're having a fight to take the word God out of your constitution. Take it off of your dollar, too. In God we trust. You remember what the Lord said to the apostles? What shall be a sign of my presence? As it was on the days of Noah. They knew not, right? Does the world know what you're doing here? That you're going to bear much fruit? That you're going to be my disciples? In Noah's day, only his family knew. The rest of the world did not. But what is interesting is that when you go to the Gospel of Luke, now this is in the Gospel of Matthew, do you find this? But you go to the Gospel of Luke, Luke says, it shall be also as the days of Lot. Doesn't it seem we're living in those days, the days of Lot? Yes, brethren, as deceitful spirits. You can read this for yourself. Romans 1, 26 and 27. The easiest and the most simplest way to describe this world is that it is spiritually and morally bankrupt. That's the world we're living in. Today's minority groups are trying to rule the world. Satan has allowed them to go that far. They want their rights. We want to have rights that we can marry same-sex marriages. They want that, don't they? Psalms 106, verses 35, 36, and 39. Psalmist David gives us a good warning here. We find that they mingled with nations and learned their practices and served their idols, which became a snare to them. We don't want that to happen to us. Thus they become unclean in their practices. Isn't that what we see today? Unclean in their practices? Where do AIDS come from? Do you know why they couldn't find a cure for AIDS? This may seem kind of funny, which it is. They could not find any homosexual mice. Acts 20, 29 and 30. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. We know that this took place after the apostles fell asleep. And it's still taking place today as we were speaking. Have you checked the internet lately? How many on the internet call themselves Bible students? Deception. A lot of it. Criticizing Brother Russell. Criticizing the real true Bible students. And Mark the 13th chapter, verse 22 says, for false Christ, false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders, if possible, to lead the elect astray. What do we find today? We find that those that we have walked with, those we have fellowship with, they believe in divine healing. It's okay to believe in Trinity. As long as we exercise love, that's all we need. You mean to say those that believe in Trinity can be part of the church? That's deception, my dear brethren. They will not be part of 144,000 because that is a chaste virgin. You've got to be clean, spotless. Your robes are to be unspotted from the world. And that's why Paul says in Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit. What Spirit? God's Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. We know the desires of the flesh are evident. Immorality, impurity, idolatry, sorcery, strife, jealousy, anger, disputes, and so on. We find a lot of that in the world today. And so Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 to 5, let us endure sound doctrine. Let us not turn away from the truth. Be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Fulfill your ministry. And Paul, his final advice to young Timothy is, 1 Timothy 4:16, he says, pay close attention to yourself, young Timothy, to your teaching. Perseverance in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and those who hear you. And in the 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 and 21, Paul says to young Timothy, he says, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments, what is falsely called knowledge, which some have profaned and thus have gone astray from the faith. Finally, we see the deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons will come to an end. Yes. We're happy for that. It'll take God's kingdom to turn this world around. You and I aren't going to turn it around today. Sometimes, you know, we get carried away. I know 45 years ago, I made a statement of 2 points, what I felt were so correct that the kingdom will be here in about a year or two. Well, that proved me wrong. I had to swallow my pride because those two things disappeared a long time ago. I asked Brother Woodward one time. In the early 50s, Brother Woodward wrote in the Dawn that the kingdom would be here by 1960. I asked Brother Woodward, why did you write that way? And Brother Woodward says, he says, Ken, I learned a very valuable lesson. Don't prophesy. You're not a prophet. I remember that. I'm trying to do the same. Don't prophesy. It'd be wrong for me to say that we're living so many years into the kingdom. I'd be deceiving you. That's deceitful spirits. That is not right. It's not my duty to do that. My duty is to fulfill my covenant of the sacrifice I've made of the Lord. What can I do to bring much fruit? Woe unto you if you preach not the gospel. Remember that one? 1 Corinthians 9:16. What about Matthew 24:14? This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. That's our mission. That's our duty. We're not here to tell you how many years you are into the kingdom or you're not. That's not our duty. If we did, that's deception. We know that there's some of those that we used to fellowship once upon a time with are telling some of our beloved brethren, you don't have to pray the Lord's Prayer anymore. Thy kingdom come. Because the kingdom is here already. You don't have to pray that anymore. That, I feel, my dear brethren, is deception if I was to do that on my part. I like Revelation 21, verse 1. And we're looking forward to that day where John the Revelator says, I saw a new heavens and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. Yes. Now, remember the scripture I read in Deuteronomy? It appears in verse 8 in the same chapter. This, when a new heavens and a new earth begins, none of this will appear. None of these sorcerers and idolaters and so on. Any witchcraft, psychic programs and so on. That'll be gone. It's not allowed in the kingdom. And so as the kingdom begins, the world will be free from evil. No more tears, my dear brethren, or sorrow, crying, or pain. Behold, I make all things new. It'll be a morning without a cloud in the sky. No more war machines, no more murders, no more dying. And brethren, let us continue to preach the gospel message worldwide of a wonderful, glorious kingdom that'll bring peace to the world. And it'll be up to you and to me if we're faithful unto death.